wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake. We have not been together for a while, so yeah. We've come back with a bang.
Yeah, Saturday night podcast.
Saturday night podcast, which means we have...
Beer.
So we're gonna sample some brews, and we will circle back to why that's a big deal.
Yeah.
But we're also going to do a personality test as we sip on some ales.
Yeah. People remember, if you listen regularly, that we did the Briggs Myers.
Okay. Yeah, Bryce. Yes. I remember it was controversial to me whatever order the personality, the names weren't alphabetical.
Right.
But anyway.
So it's Myers-Briggs then.
Myers-Briggs, that's okay. Correct, yes.
If it's not alphabetical, because the other would be alphabetical. We did that personality test, which if people know is like this one old one that goes back. A lot of people critique it. A lot of businesses still use it. We both turned out to be INTJs, which I forget what that means. Like after all this effort, we turned out to have the same personality traits. It's like introvert. I forget what N is. T is like thinking. And
yes, thinking. J, yeah. Judgmental.
It might be.
Which is definitely me, because I'm very judgmental.
So anyway, but, you know, we're doing a personality test that was posted on 538, the website that it's an adjunct to the ESPN these days, but it's Nate Silver's
website.
Stats, polling and stuff. I don't know if they invented it, but they promoted it, and you can just go right onto their app, and I'm sure we'll throw up a link to it.
Yep.
And their test is different, and they basically say the title is Most Personality Quizzes Are Junk Science, Take One That Isn't. And then... it basically says there's five attributes that it will measure. I don't bother talking about ahead of time. We'll just talk about them once we're done. And it's the way that most psychologists measure and test personalities. And they say this is better. I got a bunch of reasons that I don't think it's better, but we'll go ahead and
get into that.
It's just basically 30 questions. They're really just questions about what you think of your own personality, I think.
Yes.
And you'd like sort of say degree. You have like five steps. And so what we're going to do is we'll read out the questions. We'll answer them each on our phone. You have it up on
my phone, yes.
Have it up on our phone, and then we'll say like what the results are. We won't say what our individual answers are, because that would be...
take forever.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And plus we have beers to sell.
In the meantime, we'll be sampling the beers. So,
right, so we've done beer shows before,
yep.
But we decided... I'd made a comment to you in passing one day in the green room that I was such and such and somewhere, and I was picking out a six-pack, and I couldn't get over how ridiculous the names of all the beers are.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up... you know, we're both of indeterminate middle age, but even now back in the UK, it basically says whatever the brewery is and then whatever the beer is. So, yeah. For example, when you go to the pub, you'll have Fuller's London Pride Bitter.
Yeah. Well, that is a title. London Pride.
That is
Pride.
A title. That's true.
That is
a
title,
yeah.
For the beer. But otherwise, I know, you know, like it's so-and-so pale ale. It's so-and-so
IPA. It's very straightforward.
And there's still quite a few craft breweries that do that, but more and more... both in terms of names of breweries are interesting. We never really said before we went to this if we were aiming for weird brewery names or weird beer names. I mostly focus on weird beer names, but I did keep an eye on weird brewery names.
Well, I'm not going to say weird names, but I was like, I'm gonna make the selections based on the name.
Oh, okay. And well, I might not have done the same thing. I tried to pick the more interesting names.
Yes.
Something that would have something to talk about on a podcast.
Well, I mean, I did that too.
You can't taste the beer on the podcast, but you can hear us talk about the names of them.
But the one thing I didn't do, and I'm normally when I shop for beer, I'm quite specific. I don't like anything too super strong. There are certain beer types, like anyone, that I prefer more than the others. I completely avoided those selections. I just did it based on the name.
Yeah.
I guess before we go, we both went to Total Wines.
Yeah, I have some local places. Dominion Wine and Beer is one of my favorites in Falls Church. I was in a rush. And B, because of the way Total Wine is set up,
there's
a lot of singles and a lot of, like, meaning individual beers you can buy, and it's just big open aisles like a shopping center. You can just walk along looking for names. I actually think the small places actually, there's so many small breweries now that there's a bunch of things at the small place that you can't find. Some things that you can, like this one, that Dominion, for whatever reason, has like every Ballast Point beer you can imagine.
Sure.
But it has a bunch of weird local things. I don't know, weird, but they're very local. And whereas the Total Wine maybe have more nationwide-wise. So,
well,
anyway,
I mean,
but
maybe
you did the same thing. I don't know if that was the same reason.
I did the same thing, but it is interesting you say that I did some research once I brought the beers home so that we weren't just sitting here going, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't do that.
Well, I did because I actually tried to make an effort to prepare for the show. And as it turns out, I'd ended up selecting a whole load of local, relatively local, like the furthest one away was North Carolina, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. And I don't know if that was just, you know, to our point, you think of Total Wine as being some sort of big multinational type deal.
But like local, you know.
Well, I think the Total Wine I went to had the beers sort of vaguely ranked by class.
Oh.
And then there's also another aisle that if you're looking for international beers, it's then ranked by country. Yeah. So I found that quite interesting.
Organized, maybe not ranked.
Right, organized is what I'm looking for. Can I say something before we start, though?
Sure.
When you buy beer, when you build a six-pack in these places, you go in and it seems like a great idea. And then when you go to cash register, you suddenly realize you've paid way over the odds is the wrong word, but way over the odds for a six-pack.
Yeah, well, so certainly the craft beer has got more expensive. So a six-pack of craft beer is routinely $10 to $12 now. And you'll see some that are higher. Sometimes they're four packs. I didn't get them.
Buying them as singles is definitely more.
So yeah, the singles, this was a new thing because I think the singles they were running from $2.49 to $2.80 each.
One was $2.99.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the ones I picked up.
Practically, you know, what you used to pay at a bar to get the beer, and you're just buying it off the shelf here. And I think they realized how many people were pulling off the singles. Now, meanwhile, there was a book. I don't know if you saw it. There's a book in there that said, here's all the beers we have by singles. And you open it up, and it was all the beers. And I'm like,
oh, really?
Not all the beers are available singles. So, you know, I did pull a couple of singles out of 6 packs, you know, meaning if they're like not out of a box where you had to like rip open a box. But I was like, it's clearly intended that I do that. And cash register, like they weren't like, oh, we don't sell this as a single.
They just scanned the box.
To see what they charge. But speaking of there was a Japanese beer. There are two Japanese IPAs I saw.
Really?
India Pale Ales. And they had very interesting names, mostly because they were in Japanese.
Well, yeah.
But they were like $5 or $6 a can for like 12-ounce cans.
Oh, no, they're just 12-ounce cans.
And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that. But I can only think that maybe there's like this small segment of people, like maybe they're Japanese, who really want to have a Japanese IPA. And so like these things, I've never seen in another place before. And there are just like two or three of them.
Anyway. All right. So let's get, while we talk, because I don't want to just talk. Let's actually crack a beer.
And I got a few more than you did, although we'll.
Yeah, so I thought the instructions were three each. And so now
I came with four and I came with six.
And so to be fair, so our audience realize this, we have a big picture here, a la wine tasting.
Yeah.
We are tasting beer.
Well, it says you. I mean, I'm in the studio is in my home, so yes. I can do whatever I want.
Well,
to.
Again, I've got to get back in my car, and so there at that moment, quite.
So I'm going to. While I didn't like you, I didn't spend a lot of attention to the types. I am going to try to semi-organize. I'm trying to pick something that's on the lighter side. And since I have one more, I figured I'd start.
God, just do it. Okay. Get a beer out. Right. Get a beer out.
So
while
the first
talk.
One, which is perfect, apropos of where we are in sports season. Putting aside that we just left the TV and Virginia lost to Notre Dame in football. Acquitted itself decently, but, you know, nothing too exciting. But also the Nationals recently clinched their wild card spot.
Yes.
And hopefully, maybe they already have. I haven't checked the scores today. They may have already clinched home field for wild card.
There you go.
Which I have tickets for. But this beer is called Chin Music. It's an amber lager from Center of the Universe Brewing in Ashland, Virginia, local here. And it's got a picture can. It actually says All-Star Week. So since it's Eastern League All-Star Week, Richmond 2019. So it is recent. I thought it was last year's All-Star game. So
all right. I'm always a bit leery.
Chin music, for anybody who doesn't know, by the way, is when you – I mean, I'm sure most people know, but
– I do not. Enlighten me.
When a pitcher throws a pitch right up towards somebody's face and the batter has to dive out of the way, that's called chin music.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why music, but
– Because I'm technically, now I've only become an American citizen because I spent the previous part of my life in the UK, I wouldn't have anything. I would just say, he tried to nail him with that ball. That's what I would say in Britain.
I think chin music, like if you actually hit the person, it's not called chin music. It's really called chin music. Maybe it's because you have to dance out of the way or something. I don't know.
All right.
Let's see if it actually says anything about that. The Flying Squirrels and Kotu Brewing. I guess that's in Ashland, Virginia, present an amber lager as crisp as an opening night and as smooth as a walk-off swing. This limited edition can celebrates the 2019 AA All-Star Week, AA, so I should say, at the Diamond in Richmond, Virginia, which is an old minor league ballpark that's actually kind of on hard times.
Let me give it a go. And this is an amber lager?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It's better than the junk lager. It's a little cool, so it's kind of hard to get all the taste. That's a little sweet, a little... I would say it's in the... No, it's not really Yingling. It's a little more body to it than that.
A little bit, but it has... And I can't decide if this is the nature of drinking beer from a can... The aftertaste I got reminded me of drinking beer out of a can when I was a teenager.
Well, maybe what?
So know, I don't know if that's because of the can, but again...
It has a very bready ending to it, you know, which is what kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, I'm not had. Sitting here going...
I think it's be pretty decent for summer day. I mean, yeah. Not too excited about it, but...
Yeah, but definitely not worth any more swigs of. I'm getting rid of that right now.
Well, I'm going to keep it here because we got to answer questions. I'm not going to have another beer open until we answer a couple
of
questions.
We've 10 minutes into the show.
So we got to answer some questions. We got 30 questions to get through.
Okay. So this is the... Do you want to... I found this link, and then, of course, in classic fashion, I'd send you the link and not bothered to do any research.
Right.
So this is the... it's the 16 personality types...
No, 16. There's five personality areas. And what it does is create...
No, but what's this test called?
Oh, it's, I don't know. It's called the...
I'm already rambling, and that's
Big
just...
Five? Yeah, okay. I don't know.
All right.
There's a piece on here that says you can read more about it in this article we published last year, but we don't have time to click on
it. Yeah, we're not going to do that. You can do that on your own when you get
it. Put it this way. First, the Big Five doesn't put people into neat personality types because that's not how personalities really work. Instead, the quiz gives you a score in five different traits... Extroversion, agreeableness, conscientiousness, negative emotionality, and openness to experience.
Okay.
For each of these traits are graded on a scale from 0 to 100, depending upon how much you associate with that trait. And so then it creates these little graphical things. You ever seen those graphs where it's just like a circle?
Yeah.
You use them in car reviews nowadays a lot.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, if the circle's big and wide and open, that's a high score and everything. If it's little and tiny, but then, like, you know, whatever the shape is, you can kind of use it to... lets you easily compare your scores to others, blah, blah, blah. So it's like everything's on a numerical scale instead of being like an I.
I mean, but we're going to have a winner when this is all done. And I mean, that's the bottom line here.
Well, I guess so. I don't know. It could be.
But I'm going to have the more agreeable personality.
And by the way, all these ones you're supposed to answer by disagree, strongly disagree a little, neutral, agree a little, agree strongly.
Okay. So we're not going to read out our answers, but we will read out the questions as we plow through. The very first question is, I tend to be quiet. Not on the show, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say the show may be misleading, but all right. The next question is, I am compassionate and have a soft heart.
Hmm. Okay.
And then the third question is, I tend to be disorganized.
The fourth question?
They've got 30 questions to get through. So,
we're going to do four or five at a time. We're doing three at a time?
That'd be 10 stops. We have at least 10 beers.
Okay. All right. So I've done three questions. So let's move on. Let's crack another beer. Because while you're sitting there glugging your chin music.
Mm-hmm. So should you pull one of yours?
Sure. And I'm just going to do it randomly because I'm just not. A lot of cans I've noticed.
Well, those cans are much bigger. I think it's cheaper to make, and of course, recycling-wise, we talked about it's much better. We had that whole recycling thing where we explained that glass is not even getting recycled anymore.
All right, so as it turns out, this is a relatively low alcohol.
I almost mistakenly picked a couple of no-alcohol ones that looked quite interesting, and I was like, wait, that's not the point. Oh, I know why you picked this one.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna tell everyone, because the whole point is picking things by name.
All right.
So obviously I went in there and
you're
I saw
bad
the...
You're pouring. It's very
so, well, no, I didn't want to overdo it. I mean, just, you know.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, tilt the glass a little.
All right, whatever. So I bought Diamonds Are Forever, and there's pictures of diamonds all over, sort of diamond logos all over it, because obviously I'm a big James Bond fan.
Right.
And Diamonds Are Forever is one of Ian Fleming's kind of boring books. And it is the Sean Connery movie he did after he left the series and came back.
Right. I mean, they didn't coin the phrase, obviously. Diamonds Forever is like an old I mean, they use it on the ads. It's not like it's owned.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Ian Fleming James Bond titles are phrases that are sort of regular phrases that have been twisted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Diamonds Are Forever
is. In other words, to make that beer, they didn't have to like license it from the Bond thing.
Notice that they've gone all in on the Diamonds Are Forever, and there's nothing about it that sort of indicates any kind of tie-in with secret agents, because then they'd probably get into trouble.
Yeah.
It's brewed by the Three Stars Brewing Company, and I looked them up on the internet.
It's in DC.
They're in Northwest DC.
Yeah.
A couple of local guys, Dave Coleman and Mike McGarry, they've been around for 5 years. So this is a hazy pale ale, and I'm going to make a comment about the types of beers that are on offer in a few moments, but let me give it a try here. It's very yellowy. And it's sort of milky. It almost looks like grapefruit juice.
What was it supposed to be again, you said? It
says it's a hazy pale ale.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Very citrusy, fruit-smelling hops. You'll hate it.
Yeah, I do hate it. It's nasty. I don't like it. And if I'd known that it was some sort of fruity in my beer, I wouldn't have bought it. So this is the problem now. I'm not good. Again, if the whole...
By the way, we forgot to start ranking beers. We were supposed to do that.
Well, no. Now we've got a second one. Obviously, we are going to rank the beers, but we're going to do it in very simple style.
Right. Yeah.
We have to agree, obviously. So Chin Music is currently sitting in the captain's chair. Diamonds Are Forever, we've pulled out.
And we're ranking them separately by name and by taste of a beer. You
know? Yeah, okay. So are you going to keep track of that?
Yeah, I can do that.
A couple of columns. I can't say it's my thing. And this is the trouble when you pick beers by names. And I want to now be a throwback to the indeterminate middle-aged man of me propping up the bar at the pub in England. If I want a pint of bitter, I'm going to ask for a pint of bitter. If I want a lager, I'm going to ask for the such-and-such lager.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at this can right now. Diamonds Are Forever. Diamonds logos all over it. Three-star brewing company. The second smallest writing on the can is about about 3 millimeters high, and actually says what sort of beer it is. It says it's a hazy pale ale. And I'm like, well, if that was actually in bigger letters, I wouldn't have bought it.
Well, to be honest, you might have.
Well, I would have bought it. For the game, I would have bought it, but in real... Well, actually, no, you're right. I might have, because I don't know what it is.
Because that name is a little... Like, so here's... So people may know, hazy IPAs are all the rage now. They call them New England IPAs, and they're like unfiltered and have a cloudy, light color to them. And they tend to have fruit-based...
Probably got grapefruit in it, which actually clashes with my cholesterol medicine.
Does it say it has grapefruit?
I don't know, but it smells like it, doesn't it? It looks like grapefruit juice and...
So, but it smells more than it tastes, which I think is a little weird.
Yes.
And the bubbles are very soda poppy bubbles. They're kind of big. It's not like a fine thing. So I actually think that Chin Music is better beer.
I was about to say Chin Music remains in the chair. Yes.
Yeah. Chin Music is better than.
But you do?
I'd be willing to be, it's close enough. I mean, if you feel strongly.
Let's go with Diamonds Are Forever.
Okay, Diamonds, Chin Music.
Diamonds Are Forever.
I don't know how I'm going to like redo this chart. I really should be doing this electronically, but in any event, Chin Music better beer than Diamonds, and Diamonds better beer than that. I feel content dumping that out. By the way, if you slip these cans back in the little coolers upright, okay, I probably will still drink them all before you leave.
Okay.
I mean, after you leave. Or before you leave.
Fair enough.
All right. Three more questions?
Three more questions. Let's do it. I worry a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a statement. That's the question.
Right. Well, they're saying, you know, you have to agree, disagree kind of thing.
I am fascinated by art, music, or literature. Well, I mean, I hate to say it. If you're listening at home and you listen to this show, if we click that's all I'll say.
I like the fact that it's an or. Like, so you don't have to be fascinated by art, music, and literature. You just have to be fascinated by one of those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what it says is I'm fascinated by culture. But that sounds a bit too
highbrow. No, but then that's not what the question is.
Okay. I am dominant and act as a leader.
All right.
So there's our third. So we're 6 questions in. We're going to crack another beer.
Yeah.
So to keep everyone clued in, excuse me, we're a third of the way through the show, so we need to get cracking here.
Yeah.
We have Chin Music, whatever that was, the light amber lager sitting in the captain's chair.
Right.
But Diamonds Are Forever for names. Yeah, it's a good name. What are you looking for?
Oh, well, you know the one of yours that we pulled out because it was warm and blah, blah, blah. You should count that as yours. I have a cold one, but like...
That's fine, yeah. That's fine. You know what I mean? That's fine. Just pull a beer anyway.
So, okay. Then I'm going to pull... Well, I'm going to keep life simple.
Although, pull that one next for me, otherwise we're all going to get confused.
Right, that's what
I'm going to take. So what have you got here?
This is Elvis juice. And it's from BrewDog.
Okay.
Which, and you may know of BrewDog, it's actually Scotland.
Oh, it is.
They're Scotland, although they're now brewing beers in Ohio. So it's a Scottish brewery, BrewDog, and they had a TV show for a while where they did this weird... I was really kind of disappointed. It was like weird ways of brewing beer.
Okay.
So like they do something like... I think they went to some Arctic place and they like dug a big pit in a lake and they brew the beer in an ice hole or something weird. Like all these things that didn't really make any difference to the beer. And I think they had some things with natural ingredients, but most of them were like gimmicks of how to brew the beer, the mechanics, and less about like what was being used in the beer.
Okay.
So I think it's got a pretty long thing. Elvis juice, our naturally flavored India pale ale. Something more fruit than the state of California. Zest. The zenith, the fruity and foreplay gives way to a, I have some printing issue on this thing, a grapefruit and orange and interstate pileup of citrus.
Okay.
Frenzied fruit cocktail flavor, blah, blah, blah. I thought it had some description of, I think the box, which I still have in the refrigerator, had a description of, this is born in Scotland, brewed in the USA. It's made in Ohio now.
And that's fair enough, because you know something, it's a good thing it's made in America, because I cannot imagine in Scotland... That well, people are drinking this stuff.
This is like their show.
Scotland, they like that heavy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or that extra.
So the
Scotch
this
ale.
This was like that was part of the thing with the show. I'm talking while I move around. So
actually, so it looks very orangey.
Another amber color.
Yeah,
amber to orange. Yeah,
but more orangey than the Diamonds Are Forever, which is right, very yellow. It smells a little bit of fruit, but not as much as the other one.
That one did.
That's nasty. Again, because and I need to be very upfront here. So I'm not a huge fan of the current trend for adding fruit to beer.
I mean, you didn't really like IPAs to begin with. You're not a high hops guy.
I'm not a high hops guy. And then throwing fruit in there, and I'm like, oh.
I think this one has grapefruit in it.
Yeah.
When you mentioned that before, I figured this is good. We kind of was a parallel taste. I think it's... It's got an extra taste. I think it's the zest they mentioned. Like, I think it has actual, like, rind or, you know, the zest is the outside of the fruit.
But it's just too fruity. And again, I know that's – and again, it does seem at the moment that we're in this – and this is not a new statement. This is – you know, this statement has been made for a couple of years. We are in a stage where everything is an IPA.
Yeah.
It's almost like brewers feel they need to make loads.
Now it's all sours, right?
Well, good, because I was a bit over the whole IPA thing, and I'm not quite sure – If adding fruit is the next,
This is growing on me a little bit. I will say that the fruit flavor to it is like real, like it's like a cocktail that would have a twist of lemon in it. Like it tastes and smells real.
Well,
it doesn't taste real like juice.
I noticed that, you know, and we actually were supposed to do this, and we'll do this on a separate show. But these flavored seltzers are very, very alcohol flavored.
I mean, it's a whole separate thing. Like,
it's a whole separate thing. But what I'm saying is, my understanding of those products are clearly aimed at the younger crowd to purchase. Is this maybe this current trend for adding fruit and citrus and that notion of sweetness.
I think there is a conversion.
Is there sort of like a marketing part in there as well? Because for the longest time...
Well, it's what sells, right? And I think, just like these lighter things, like while the original craft beer people were like, heavier, IPA, give me an imperial, a porter, or this and that and the other thing. I think the younger folks are
interested.
I want
in
something
that.
Crisper. Yes. And like I want something I'm not going to be totally logged down.
Porters and brown ales and milds and all these sort of thing are aimed at old fogies like us. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, partnering, we are the classic beer geek.
Right.
And so these younger drinks, these drinks with the fruit are clearly aimed at a more younger crowd.
Right.
I definitely think that's part of it. Because to be entirely fair, the notion of chucking in fruit into your beer, but why would you do that?
Yeah. Well.
Well, I mean, I know you do it because you can, but I don't know.
All right.
It's almost like it's beer sangria.
A little bit.
Did you know what I mean?
Sangria too.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Rankings.
Well, I don't like these, so I'm not gonna put it above the Chin Music.
Okay. So it's but it's better than Diamonds, didn't you think?
Yeah, slightly. I didn't like diamonds at all.
Okay. Elvis. Yeah, name?
Oh, yeah. Elvis Juice? You can't go wrong with that.
Better than all of them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So far, okay.
Yeah. Because even though Diamonds Are Forever is cool, Diamonds Are Forever ultimately is a...
I mean, given that it's grapefruit, I mean, if you want to think of it as banana, then that's Elvis Juice,
if it was
juice,
banana,
I guess,
or if it had, like, bacon rind in it. Yeah, maybe that's the next thing. So that's the next thing would be, hey...
I'm sure it exists.
With the wonderful aftertaste of leg of lamb. I mean, really, why are people doing this?
All right, three more questions.
Three more questions.
You read up the last ones, I'll read these. I am sometimes rude to others. I have difficulty getting started on tasks. Well, if you know our podcast.
Yes.
I tend to feel depressed and blue. Now,
all right, answer the question. Just answer the question.
But I want to say this because I think this is a good point of the question.
I tend to feel depressed and blue when all the beers have fruit in it.
Because I don't think we're gonna. I don't think we'll spend a ton of time at the end analyzing whether. But I will say the thing that I thought was weird about this test is it has a question like that. Like it says, this is a better analysis of your personality.
No, it's a mood question.
What's it? A mood, right? But
that's my point. But it's an odd question to have in there, isn't it?
But like, plus the way you answer it isn't even necessarily accurate. Like, it's how do I feel? Like, and so, like, if the ultimate descriptor of, oh, your personality is that you're depressed, I don't remember if that's on the thing. But if the question is, do you feel depressed? You know, like, what kind of magic is the question doing?
Well, as we go through the questions, it might be interesting because ultimately, is your personality a reflection of how you feel rather than how you feel sort of a separate thing on its own?
Yeah.
That's why it jumps out a little bit, because for the first time, I was like, well, that's not a personality trait. Well, maybe it is.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. We'll see how it all comes together.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to pull a beer.
Do it.
So the interesting part about this and the reason we're doing it this way is...
Try and find something without fruit.
Well, also, the two of us arrived at the table with the same beer. And mine was a little cooler, so we're using that one. The beer is called Revenge of the Zith.
Yeah.
Like Revenge of the Sith, Zith being spelled Z-Y-T-H. I forget what Zith, I think it's like Zithurgy or something like that.
It was just like a picture of a hop in someone in like a Jedi outfit.
Yeah, it's a hop.
But with a hop instead of where their head would be.
So I don't know, Z-Y...
Can you look that up? Because it's done by the local to the show, Gainesville/Manassas,
Zith
Virginia.
Those hops. So that's a type of hops.
And the brewer is called Tin Cannon, and I want to say they have a crappy website. Because because this was one of the beers I'd bought, I'd went to research them a little bit, and there was
Where is it? It's in Virginia.
Yeah, it's in Manassas or Gainesville, so it's sort of about 35 miles west of Washington, D.C. Yeah,
and then I'll describe it.
Yeah.
Another can, perfect for being Tin Cannon.
And of course, it's a Tin Cannon because obviously that is, if you know your history, it's all sort of... Civil War battlefield areas and all that type of thing.
Cannon, anyway.
Well, it's a cannon because that's the area, and then tin because that's the can.
Oh, well, okay.
So again, tin cannon.
Similar color, orangey.
Crappy
amber.
Website.
Good. By the way, the other one had good carbonation, unlike the first. God, that has a very bready smell.
I'm trying to get a good sniff of it. I mean, again, and unfortunately, after going back-to-back fruit-implanted beers, my system's now struggling to adapt to something that doesn't smell of fruit.
So what's interesting is, given the fact that it talks about the hops, you'd expect it to be really a high hop, but it says an IPA, so it should be India.
It does have that sort of IPA.
But it's not that – it's a 45 IBUs, which is the bitterness measurement. That's pretty low. It's a 6.1% alcohol, so it's not a super strong – it's an American IPA. I think this is by the way, the little sub thing says this is the IPA you're looking for. Like, you know, these aren't the droids.
Oh, these are
for.
The droids. Oh, okay, very
good. I mean,
cool.
I imagine they'll be getting a call from Disney soon saying you're not.
Well, no, I think
there.
If they said, I think if they were doing some sort
and
of.
They even have the cross lightsaber, you know, like the from the new. Stuff.
Yeah, they're going to get into trouble with that. But I think if they'd said this is not the IPA you're looking for, they would get into
that's
Disney.
True.
But also that their own marketing people would be like, what are you doing putting out in the can?
Yeah, that's not helpful. Kind of a funny can. The. the label, like it's a, the part of the can is painted as Tin Cannon, but the part that's the actual beer label is a sticker. And yeah. You do see the sticker ones, but now it's like they mixed it together. They must have a certain amount of Tin Cannon cans that are like fixed
things. Interesting. So can we, maybe we can stop for a moment. I was struck by the number of cans. Mm-hmm. And I think for the longest time with beer, I was having this discussion the other day with a couple of colleagues, and there were all of us all standing around, and someone was regaling how they'd been to Dublin to drink Guinness. So we'd started talking about Guinness.
Right.
And I always said when I was a kid, the Guinness was ranked, this is pre-widget, there was, Guinness tasted great on draft,
yeah.
Tasted okay in a bottle, and if back in the day you were just having the equivalent of a pop can, if you were drinking Guinness from that, and in England now, remember, not everything is ice cold.
Right.
Guinness was something, you might as well drink motor oil.
Right.
So it is, so, you know, for my life, I've been, you know, sort of conditioned, not cask conditioned, I've been conditioned to think that anything out of a can tastes worse. But it is interesting now, with modern brewing methods, that it's, you know, cans away. But cans everywhere.
Yeah, I do think, like I mentioned,
20 years ago, everything was bottles.
One is recycling. I think there's an environmental reason they're doing it. Two is nobody's drinking it out of the bottles, right? You know, like people nowadays, you're getting a craft beer, you usually put it into a glass, even if it comes in a bottle. Not always, but usually you want to smell it. So if you pour it out anyway, you're going
to
pour it out anyway. What's the point in the glass? I think there's a lot of small breweries that you can bring in their portable canning lines. Like, so you don't even have to have canning stuff on site. What you can do is brewing and serving your beer on tap.
Yeah.
And then periodically bring in, like, these companies have a canning line that you just kind of roll in there, can a bunch of beers, throw the stickers on the things, and then move out, you know, so you don't have to can, because you don't have to run the canning line every day if you're a small brewer.
Did you ever, when you were younger, I don't know if they had here in America, did they ever have, like, the Party Five or something, which was basically a ginormous can that was about 100 fluid ounces, and the whole point was you bought this massive can and you could pour out four or five pints of beer.
They had those cans that were like the little mini kegs from Heineken, but that okay. You had to add,
yeah, I mean,
you
had to this was a huge thing in England in the 70s.
There was a Coors Party Ball for a while. It was like a plastic, looked like a gerbil would run around in it when it was it was this round tan ball, and it came in a box, and I forget how you poured that out, but kind of a waste of time, a lot of experiments. I think this is good. It's balanced and normal, and by the way, I looked, Zith is not a type of hop, it is a proprietary hop blend where they put them all together, and it's designed for IPAs. And
I'm going to pour the rest of it out, because to your point, I really enjoyed that, and I don't want to keep drinking it, because by the end of the show, my personality will just be obnoxious.
What do you think this pitcher that we're making full of all the mixed beers is going to taste like?
Well, if it stays cold, we can try it, and we can try it at the end. It's my favorite. It's my favorite beer so far.
Yep. So we'll move that to the top.
And I'm trying to think. What did I pay for mine? $2.29, so it wasn't cheap by the can.
Although it's within, better than the others.
It is within the range. Yes, yeah. It is within the range. But for the name, Elvis Juice stays higher for me. It's a clever name, but that's all it is a clever pun. And if we've already eliminated Diamonds Are Forever and James Bond, why the heck should another franchise that's currently struggling for originality, why should that win?
So again, in ranking, it's lower than Elvis Juice. Is it above Diamonds? Is it below Diamonds?
No, I don't know. I just, I'm in my mind.
We're supposed to reach a consensus here. I'm going to say it's below Diamonds.
Okay, all right.
Zith. All right.
But the best tasting beer so far.
Yeah.
All right, so on to the questions. Mm-hmm. Back to our personality test. I have little interest in abstract ideas.
All right.
Okay. I am full of energy.
Yeesh.
Again, that's an interesting. But before we all come back, I assume the best about people. So again, just go back one question from it. I am full of energy. That's not a personality type. That's a state of mind, right?
Right.
So clearly there's something going on here intentionally,
because
we have, you know, I'm feeling depressed and blue, and then we have I'm full of energy. So there's our the bell is intermittent, but what the hey.
So now I'm supposed to pick, really, because that was technically yours, even though it came out of my cooler.
Because I saw it, and I'm like, ooh, Eric loves Star Wars. Let me get him a Star Wars beer. Isn't that cute?
All right. We'll go with this one. We'll see what this is all about. So this is banana bread beer.
Okay.
So you may know of this already, because I don't think this is a new thing.
Because I have something else to go back-to-back with that then.
Yeah, so this is from Wells, which, of course, is British, right?
Yes, and I think I have had it before.
Yeah, malt beverage brewed with banana. They may just call it that because of the fact that in, like, America, you can't call
it
something.
But this has been around. Can I just say something about banana? That Wells banana bread beer has been around longer than the current trend for adding stuff to beer.
Right, right.
So this is almost slightly old school.
Fair trade bananas, apparently.
Oh. Well, silky richness, nowadays it's important.
Malt blend, peppery spice. Yeah, well, let's open it up.
And okay.
This is a bottle. I didn't even bring any water to, like, rinse out our glasses.
Yeah, whatever. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. So like I say, but Wells banana bread beer has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. Can you say what on the bottle does it claim to be? Like, what's its sort of beer type?
Well, that's where it's interesting. The bottom calls it a malt beverage brewed with bananas and bananas and banana flavor added. So I suspect this is one of these cases where, like, you only certain additives you can put in there, and so is it really even normal beer?
You do smell the banana.
Marston's Brewery Road, Wolverhampton. Doesn't tell you much else. Premium flavored beer.
And you do taste the banana.
Contains barley. Good to know. Mm. I should hope so. Darker, more copper vision. Ooh, doesn't smell very good.
No, it tastes of funky banana. Smells of funky banana.
It tastes banana, but it tastes a little fake banana. And it does say banana flavor added.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you said that. There is something.
A little candy banana-ish.
Yeah, and you get that hit right at the end. So it's something very artificial about it. And I'm my gut reaction is, ooh, that might be an interesting beer without the banana in it.
Okay. Yeah, well.
Because when I taste it, and again, I'm going to just sip it now. I get the banana at the end when it goes down my throat.
Yeah.
And so in a strange way, I'm like, ooh, it's like a movie.
It's like what's left behind in your tongue.
Yeah, it's like watching a game. The first half was great. The second half was kind of boring. Do you know what I mean? It feels like that to me a little bit. And you're right. There is something vaguely artificial, saccharine-y.
I can't imagine having more than one. I'll put it that way. Like, can you imagine, like, oh, I'd like another banana bread beer.
Yeah, you've got to be off your rocker. Oh, bananas.
Yeah, see, I could get rid of wheels turning in that one.
Sorry.
All right, so beer ranking.
I mean, it's not near the top. No. You know, in terms of your fruit beers, it can go down in that division and they can beat each other up for the fruitiest beer.
As long as you're in different, I'm going to put it below the.
But I actually would, because to your point there, I will
those
say.
Those at least are well, like
I
was real.
I will say this about the other beers with citrus attached. It seems with citrus in the flavor. It all seems slightly more organic. Whereas the minute you said that, ooh, that feels like something's just been squirted in there at the end. Yeah. And I'm not suggesting that's the process, but that's what it tastes like.
Yeah.
And so you're right. It should go below theirs. And the name, yeah.
It's not interesting. It is what it is. The others are. So it's bottom dweller on this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Not because we're particularly opposed to it.
But I want to say this right now because
it's from a bygone era.
Well, isn't it? Yeah. Is it? But, on the very limited sort of cross section we're doing here, wow, they've really improved the brewing processes, because the one from the past,
which of course is true in all respects anyway.
All right, so I'm going to. Oh, I guess more questions.
Oh, yeah. Gotta do it. Was it. Did you talk last time? I think you spoke.
Yeah, I did speak, yes.
All right, I will go. I am reliable and can always be counted on. I am emotionally stable and not easily upset. I am original and come up with new ideas. All right.
Okay.
What's next in your
collection? Well, because we've done that, I wanted to pull something else for you, something for you.
Okay.
And it's by... And it's by someone called Duclaw that I think...
Duclaw is like a little bit of a chain, I think.
Yes.
Now. It may be somewhat Maryland related, but...
This is called Sweet Baby Java, and it's espresso bean-infused chocolate peanut butter porter. Now, you know, we talked about buying things by names, and I'll be honest with you, Sweet Baby Java kind of caught my eye, but then when I read in small print espresso bean infused chocolate peanut butter porter, I kind of broke my rule a little bit and I bought the beer just on this sort of basis of, I got to try that. I'm not suggesting it's appealing to me,
right,
but I want to try
it. Sure.
And so in a strange way, I nearly didn't buy it for the show. I nearly left it at home because we were originally only supposed to bring three each. Just because I'd kind of broken the rule. I'll let you pour because you criticized my pouring earlier.
It's actually an airport. I think it's a Duclaw either in Manchester or Baltimore or something.
I think they are in Maryland. If I remember right from my notes, I did not write down their state, but I think when I went to their website, they are in Maryland. But to your point, it was a very impersonal website in that there was no, hey, meet the guys, this type of thing.
Yeah.
And so to your point that they're probably some multinational. Kind of like,
you know, that guy Hickenlooper, from the presidential thing, people talk about he started a brewery, but I forget what brewery it is, but it's kind of a chain brewery now. Like, it's not that great a deal.
All right, so it looks
obviously very dark.
It basically looks like a coffee.
It smells pretty good. It smells like dessert. Like
when you said it smelled pretty good before you said just like dessert, I was about to say, ooh, it smells like dessert. It
smells like a cake.
Yes, you can smell the chocolate and
peanut butter.
Yeah, the minute you said it smells like a cake, it tastes. if you were biting into this, you'd be eating a brownie or a cake.
Yeah,
and I can't decide now. It's interesting. I'm now going to defend it for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, like it's
called Sweet Baby Java. Now I know that in my household, one of my stepdaughters loves Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce.
That's right,
and I would imagine that if you were grilling and you are the grill / smoke, smoke master, this might have some intrinsic value if you were cooking other things.
It's a Great American Beer Festival medal winning robust chocolate peanut butter porter.
What, is that the division?
That's a good question.
If that's the division,
I'm sure it's like,
we're looking at a pretty specialist field.
Don't say much else.
And I can't. It's interesting. This is a beer that's all
Baltimore.
Aroma. This is
Duclaw's
a yeah.
Baltimore.
This is a beer that's all aroma to me.
Oh, but it's got tons of taste. I mean, it's
it's interesting. Because you catch so much aroma. I gotta just sniff this for a little while. You catch so much aroma, and then the taste is.
It's
the taste doesn't live up to the aroma.
It's very hard to put into our regular things because it's not really like a beer. It's almost like a after dinner drink.
I mean, it's a porter, isn't it? And to be fair, porters and stouts are the separate division, aren't they, of beer? Like everything else,
it would go great with the chocolate chip cookie. But, like, what is that? That's not like a beer. Like, where do I put that in, like, the rankings relative to...
What percent alcohol is it?
It's only 6.2.
All right. So it's kind of session-y, but although porters in general, I don't know. It's all aroma. For me, the aroma completely dominates the taste.
All right.
Yeah, I'd drink one of those and then be looking if you were at a party and you had a six pack of them, don't worry, there's five for everyone else.
I mean, I don't know how many calories it's got in, but like if you were like you like sweets, if you had one of these in a night as your sort of special treat to yourself, but I can't imagine having more than that.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is very much an after dinner. Where has this been spelt B-E-A-M?
Yeah, that's pretty weak. They make up a quote, like it's not like it's somebody actually said that quote. I mean, well, other than they wrote it on there. So where do you fit it? It's better than banana bread, right?
It's better than banana bread. And this is where these things become subjective. If you offer me that one of the fruit ones, I'm going to drink that.
Yeah.
Even if it is in the middle of the day and it's hot and I want to glug something, I'm still going to drink that because I don't like fruit in my beer. So, it's tough. But... I mean, it's above banana bread.
I'll put it above the fruit beers.
I definitely put it past that first fruit beer.
Yeah, I was even going to put that in the middle between Diamond and Elvis.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Okay. Because it's definitely better than Diamond, which I didn't like. There's nothing special. It's in there.
It's above banana bread.
It's above banana bread, and that's it. You know, because it's kind of a knockoff. It's supposed to make you think of the barbecue sauce.
I know.
That was what I thought of,
isn't it? I guess, but I mean, it's not really like a barbecue sauce reference.
Yeah.
I thought about buying, I forget what it's called, but they make a beer from, who makes the beer? It's got Old Bay seasoning in it.
Oh.
And it, the crab seasoning in it.
Yes.
And it's another one where, like, it seems like a great summertime beer. Is it Naren Gusset
to make something like that?
It's got to be something in Chesapeake, Narragansett. Stuff.
Yeah.
I like how you call it Narragansett. Narragansett?
Yeah. Well, what are you supposed to call it?
Well, you were like... Narragansett, but it's like you're Narragansett.
Well, I had to think.
You're sounding it out.
Yeah, we're tasting beers. It's one of those words that you're not sure if there's an extra syllable in there. Right. You know, it's a bit like Mississippi. Did I spell it correctly? Yep. That's what it's like.
I'm going to put that on the ice just because maybe I'll have it at the end.
You might cook with it later.
Yep. So to me now, right?
Yep.
Well, I got something that'll fit, although hopefully you can keep up with it. So this beer is called Chromo Lungma.
Okay.
C-H-R... Oh, wait, we didn't ask our questions.
Sorry. Yeah, do the questions.
I think you're next on the talk.
I am? Okay. I didn't think I was, but I'll do it anyway because I'm ready to go. I am outgoing and sociable. I can be cold and uncaring. I keep things neat and tidy.
All right. So, started to say, brewery is Jack Yo's Pub and Brewery.
Jack Yo's or Jackie O's?
This is Jack Yo's, but the O is a barrel. So,
okay,
I assume it's Jack Yo's. It is.
It kind of makes sense, wouldn't it? Because that's the thing nowadays.
A honey nut brown ale.
Oh,
it's a brown ale brewed with wildflower honey.
Okay.
See, I thought you might like this.
Well, I do. I love my brown ale.
The thing there. And I don't have the
very
box.
Funky black and orange can with all kinds of stylized
brewed
designs
in
on it.
Iron of Brian Oestrix. I don't know. It's Oestrikes. May 23rd, 2007, Mount Everest Summit. So the can doesn't say this, but the box said that it's some other language's word for the backside of Everest Mountain.
Okay.
It's Chromo Lungma.
I mean, I assume,
what are the Sherpas? Where do they come from?
They're Tibetan, aren't they?
Tibetan, so it must be a Tibetan word. But I know you love,
I'm not sure I would climb Everest and be pounding brown ale, although it might be a way to get you through
I think it's, a little bit ironic. Like nowadays, everybody's like kind of against the whole Everest thing just because there's too many people going up there, and here we are like celebrating it with a beer.
Too many people going up there and too many people not coming back down, unfortunately. I mean, this was supposed to have been the most brutal year ever of Everest mortality.
So another brown beer, good looking carbonation.
And I can't decide when I smell it, though.
There's a little bit of peanut butter still in the glass, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it was there.
So I'm going to give it a little time here to kind of settle in.
Okay, so with full disclosure, again, if you said to me, take one beer to the grave, one style of beer, it's either Scotch ale, which I like, or brown ale, where they're kind of related. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because I like brown ale. So
the problem, we should probably, despite the... I know you put the chocolate beer in because we did the banana one, but that chocolate beer had a lot of like fill your mouth with the taste. So this is seeming like a little thin compared to it, but I don't really think it is. I think it's just that it's following up something where there was this peanut butter chocolate.
It's interesting you use the word thin. I think, it only feels thin because it doesn't have. And again, I'm getting too hung up now on your comment about the banana bread beer, where clearly that banana flavor seemed to have been squirted in like a soda stream or something.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that's the case with the chocolate peanut butter thing, the sweet baby Java, but this is just a beer almost without anything added.
Right.
And if they put anything, they said they put honey nut on it, but to be honest with you, there's a part of me who suspects this might be a marketing thing because someone said, no, you've got to have something added to it. People aren't just going to drink a brown ale. It better be something brown ale. In the same way that if you just sold Johnson's Porter is it's an old fogies beer.
Yeah.
And so a millennial is not going to go, give me a porter. But I do think, in a strange way, there is a marketing aspect to this, that if you're trying to flog porter by throwing in, espresso beans and all kinds of stuff on the label, you hope at some level that you're making your product more attractive.
It's actually Como Lungma. Now, it doesn't have an R, so it's Como Lungma, I mean, I assume. It says, scores on a Beer Advocate, it scores an 85, very good. Don't want to tarnish our plans here, but
I think it's very smooth, very clean.
Very solid ale, strong notes of honey.
There's no bittery aftertaste, although in general, brown ales tend to, they've sort of sliced that part of the experience off. I mean, I like it a lot, frankly.
I think this is pretty good. This might be our best beer so far.
And I'm going to say this now, and whether by accident or design, even though this is honey nut, this is the first beer that's gone in the glass that you don't feel, with the exception of
Not honey nut. I think it's a nut brown ale.
Okay.
It's honey nut brown ale, because, of course, what the main brown ale of... is nut brown. The great British brown ale is
Samuel Smith's like nut brown ale. Yeah.
So, because it's brewed with wildfire honey, so it's not not like a honey nut Cheerio. It's like honey nut brown ale.
That's really good. I really like that. And it's interesting how I like that. And then, is it Chin Music?
Yeah.
So far, they're the only two beers that have not attempted to spice up their existence with all kinds of other stuff.
The Zith wasn't added anything else. It's just a pale ale.
Yeah, it wasn't very nice.
Well, it's the top of a ranking so far.
Zith?
I mean, this is going to go ahead of it now, right? Isn't it?
Did Zith beat Chin Music?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, I was sitting.
Right here.
Fair enough.
Como Lungma. Putting it at the top of the ranking so far. How about a name? Pretty weird.
What's that?
It's not as imaginative as like Elvis Juice.
Okay, so I'm now going to say something to you. If you drink this beer... and then 2 weeks later, we're hanging out, and you're like, oh, I had this great, you love brown ale. It's called something such and such
I'll
and whatever.
I'll remember the first part because I'll think of Chromo, and then I'll be like, oh, but then we realized it didn't have an R in it.
I'm then going to wander into my local shop looking for this great beer that you mentioned to me, and I'm not going to be able to find it. Whereas Elvis Juice, you ain't mistaken that for anything else.
It's our second Ohio beer because Jackie O's Pub and Brewery is in Ohio.
That was good. I really want to slug
that
back.
So where do you want to put it on the name, though? Like, I mean, it's behind Elvis Juice. It's behind Diamonds, behind Zip.
Yeah, I think so.
Chin Music.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it falls below there because it's just you just go remember it. Too complicated for its own good.
All right.
At least with Narragansett, you remember the brewer because you know you can't pronounce it.
Narragansett, it's one of these beers that now is popular in a bunch of places because it's considered like blue collar.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the Narragansett Lagers, nothing great special, but
nah, it shows
there,
up
everywhere. Just like a few years ago when PBR was all over the place and all the hipsters were drinking PBR.
I think that's PBR.
Before they all realized that like PBR, Black Label, Red, White, and Blue, Schlitz, Schaefer, they're all like brewed the same place now.
Yeah.
And they all got put together. All right. Do I have a question? My question's now.
Yeah, right? Do it.
I am relaxed and handle stress well.
Okay.
I have few artistic interests. That's an interesting question. I have few, not a few. I have little artistic interests. I mean, since we run a podcast, we can't be,
And then
I prefer
more.
To have others take charge.
Okay. All right. Let me see. So I guess I'm putting my hand in and pulling something out. As the actress said to the bishop. All right. So this was, I bought that. So I got this one here. This is called, and let me put on my glasses. This is from Lone Rider and it's called Shotgun Betty. And I bought this can because it has a sort of a cartoon picture of a rather attractive lady in a cowboy hat slinging her double-barreled rifle or shotgun over her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done by Lone Rider, which is a Raleigh, North Carolina brewery. They started in 2009. I went to their website, and there was a lot of talking about, Lone Rider and the Wild West and Pioneer Spirit, and yet it was the one brewery website that had a little video embedded in it. And when I when I punched on the video, I found that the dude who was being interviewed, who is the CFO and chief tasting officer, I think, you know, supposed to be hilarious. He did not seem very Wild Western or pioneering in any which way. So I found that quite interesting. But the reason I bought this too was, so much of how you see beer, I think, you know, if you're a guy, goes back to some of your experiences when you were younger. When I was a kid in Scotland, they had a drink called Tennent's Extra, which was very much a lager, you know, Budweiser, that Pilsner type style. Anyway, back in the 70s and 80s, the 16-ounce cans would have, it would say Tennent's Extra on one side, and then on the other side, it would have a picture of, a color picture of an attractive lady in a bathing suit or something like that. And I found that kind of interesting. And so in a strange way, you know, the fact that this is a modern brewery and it's a cartoon and all that type of thing, what it says is, you know, in marketing, if you're not sure, well, sex always sells. And that was why I picked this one out. I just thought it was interesting and it gave me a chance to talk about something. Like I say, it's the oddest thing. I don't think they do it anymore. You can probably go on the internet and punch up pictures of Tennent's Extra lager cans from the 70s and 80s. And like I said, it had a colored picture. I can't even remember if the girls would have their name on them. Like they're fully dressed, but some, but they were different. And the whole point was you could collect the cans. It's an odd thing. And I don't mean this is any reflection of myself and the person I am or anything like that. I just find it interesting that, you know, you put the attractive lady in the cowboy hat and the shotgun on the side. It's an interesting decision. That's what you're going to put on your can.
Well, so, you know, the brewery that's nearby us, Flying Dog. The one that has the crazy, they have the illustrations on the cans are by Stedman, who illustrated all the.
Yeah. They have Raging Bitch, I think, is one of their beers.
Yeah, they have a lot of beers with bad names. Yes. And like they're getting under increasing pressure to not be so misanthropic in their names.
Misogynistic is the word you're looking for.
No, I would say misanthropic. Too. Oh. Yeah, but it's awesome.
How's that different from philanthropic?
It's the opposite, right? Oh my God, Hunter S. Thompson. So Stedman did the illustrations for the Hunter S. Thompson books. He's done the illustrations for the labels. I don't know how he got connected with them. I mean, it's not like in his turf. But anyway, they're kind of hard time. This is much more of a straight head illustration. You didn't even mention it's a Hefeweizen.
Yeah, which I shouldn't have poured it for myself because I don't like Hefeweizen.
Which is, of course, a wheat beer, German Hefeweizen. Ales for Outlaws is a little sub part. And you also didn't read Part Vixen, Part Vigilante.
Yeah.
Vigilante.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Shotgun Betty uses her sharpshooting skill to target those that show a weakness for wheat beer with a body that won't quit. This German-style Hefeweizen features a rich banana clove nose and a refreshing dry finish. So some Hefeweizens, they talk about banana and clove scent.
To be honest with you, for a Hefeweizen, which I don't like, it's actually not bad.
Yeah,
I do find that bad Hefeweizens tend to make me think I'm drinking soap. Reflex I have.
It has a little thickness to it that I.
What's
it feels
the mass,
a little like it's not great.
What's the mass-produced Hefeweizen? What's the super popular mass-produced Hefeweizen?
The picture they have online is like a different. It's a picture of the same woman, but it's like not the same looking can. Much better looking can than this one.
No, because it's got a golden background.
Yeah, but it's like that everything's blown up differently. Look, this looks much more like amateurish. This looks much more polished, don't you think?
I don't know. Shotgun Betty seems like she's got a nice personality. And she seems like she's very intelligent.
I can't read the bottom of the can, but seems like it might be old.
What's the mass-produced Hefeweizen? It's the one you get everywhere. Blue Moon. Oh. I drink Blue Moon, and I think I'm drinking dishwater soap.
It's basically Budweiser. Isn't it Budweiser, of course?
Yeah. Unfortunately for me, that's my sort of test bar for Hefeweizen.
It's not a clue. They're right about
that. Yeah. But, you know, Lone Rider, I mean, if it was a Hefeweizen only night, I'm reaching for the Lone Rider.
Fair enough.
Something? I'm going to have that before one of the citrus-infused IPAs. So that's the amount of help I'm going to give you.
Why don't I put it below Chin but above Elvis?
Yes.
Okay. Shocking Betty.
Sean Connery Betty's name is not that, you know, again, and, but in terms of the attractiveness of the can, she
better
wins
than
that Chroma division.
Longo, right?
Yes.
All right, so we'll go below Chin Music.
And she wins the best looking can division.
Well, we don't know that. There's more things.
All right, fair enough.
It's wins, maybe winning.
All right, let me get on with the test. I am respectful and treat others with respect.
You're in trouble now.
I am persistent and work until the task is finished. See, now, this next question, this is where the rubber meets the road. I feel secure and comfortable with myself. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Next beer. We are plowing along.
All right. So I got a couple, like...
So I'm done now.
Tough because IPAs. I'm going to save those for last. You're done?
Okay. Yeah, because remember, I only brought four. Well,
this will be fitting as a segue.
You piled like 10.
I probably six or something.
Well, six is a couple more than four. I mean,
you're done?
Yes. Because we both bought the Revenge of the Zith.
Yeah.
So he counted as mine. I had Revenge of the Zith.
So this beer is called Shark Tears.
Ooh, okay.
Isn't that kind of cool? Yeah. I've never seen this one before. It's a Goza, which is like a sour Belgian style.
Okay.
Kind of used. It's big for summer times. I love having
now,
Goza on the
way. We did mention earlier the notion of Diamonds Are Forever and perhaps Revenge of the Zith might run into some copyright issues. Shark Tear has the picture of the shark in the classic Jaws pose.
Actually, no, look, see what it's got. See the green things? Laser beams.
Oh, laser
sharks
beams.
Sharks with laser beams
but
on their
heads. It's that classic Jaws shot of the shark.
Yeah, like leaping.
Nose up, yeah.
Maybe
just
because
the
they're
top
blending,
of
it's
it.
Considered like a... So it says...
Now, who are these guys?
This is... Oh, good question. It's only 4.6 alcohol. It is...
All right, let's get it down my neck.
Locally brewed by Pleasure House Brewing.
Okay. Ooh,
that's a good name. On Shore Drive in Virginia Beach.
Now, I'm going to say this now. And again,
sorry,
because
Shore Drive in Virginia Beach.
Because the name is the thing. That is the whole point of this show. We selected beers by their name. I said at the start that, you know, in England, it's so and so bitter. If my brewery is called Pleasure House, I'm not calling anything shark. I'm just going Pleasure House IPA.
Yeah.
This is the Pleasure House Brown Ale. Because Pleasure House itself has all kinds of connotations to catch your attention.
So this being right on the Chesapeake has its perks. A lot of the sun, fun, blah blah blah.
Cool.
You want to say you're like, why call it shark tears? Well, where do you think the salt comes from? So like these kind of beer has a little bit of salt.
That nasty. I'm not a Goza guy.
I know you're not. So this will be a problem. So I will say
I'm going to leave you to rank. I'm going to leave you to rank it.
Let me rank it amongst Gozas first. Middle. It's Old Pro from the Baltimore Brewery, I forget what it's called, and is better for sure. Anderson Valley, although Anderson Valley has a bunch of ones that have like watermelon added in, a bunch of things. I don't like any of the ones.
Aren't Anderson Valley cured meats? Yeah, let me get to it. You want some bratwurst?
Anderson
you want
Valley
Anderson
is the
Valley?
Beer. Anderson Valley is the beer that all their labels have a bear with antlers.
Oh, okay.
You know why?
Why?
It's a beer. Bear deer.
Oh, okay.
I had a friend in college that, you know, like, who had a shirt that said, you know, like, got beer, and it just had a picture of bear with
this
beer
is antlers. The trouble now with the explosion of craft brewery is that everyone has to try and create some sort of niche for themselves.
It has the wrong smell.
Well, I want to be fair. I don't like it at all, but I want to be fair on it. The wrong smell could be just the collection of beers.
It could
I mean,
be.
We're,
and
on
we're
beer
drinking out
right
of a,
now.
It's not really good. So I really like a Goza on a boat. It's a great summertime, okay. Floating around on the lake.
Okay.
This is in the mid-level. I'm going to put it.
You rank it wherever you think based on the others. Again, I just don't like Gozas. So.
I'm going to put it below the Java, but above the Diamond.
That beer can Goza to hell because I don't like Gozas.
Now, I quite like the name.
What's the name again?
Shark Tears.
Shark Tears. I mean, it's up there.
I mean, like, just even the idea. Like, you know, whoever thought about putting those words together?
It's better than Diamonds Are Forever.
All right. So, well, Diamonds Forever is right now second.
Well, then it goes to definitely second. I'm not entirely convinced that. Yeah, it is behind Elvis Juice because Elvis Juice is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it's up there. It forced its way in.
Mm. I don't like the smell. The smell's weird. I don't know what's going on.
But again, that could be.
It could be.
And again, our 64-ounce pitcher is now, it's a two, looks like it's what?
This one I had to buy a six-pack of.
Oh, sorry. Our three-quart pitcher is, we're nearly to, it is over half full, and there is a funny-colored looking, this is a beer sarsaparilla.
Yeah,
I know. And you were
I'm just worried
when,
that
when it's finished, right at the end of the show,
if we have to hit pause, it's because we're running out of room.
At the end of the show, we'll just pour a little bit into our glass and see what all these beers together tasted like, and then we'll rank that against the beers individually.
All right. So next question is: we're already over an hour.
Yes,
I am complex and a deep thinker. See, One of our ideas, by the way, for everybody was that we were going to maybe take the test before drinking and then after drinking.
Yeah, no,
I think what it would change is you'd be more inclined to be like, oh, I agree strongly. Like, you no longer just slightly agree.
Definitely come strong to the mic through the last set of questions. Yeah, exactly. I'm going
to
say that right.
I tend to find fault with others.
Okay.
I can be somewhat careless.
Well, hold on. These are the last two questions. You want to burn through these and do another beer?
No, there's three after this. There's two after this.
Yes. Okay. Just do them all now, whatever. Because we do actually need to wrap this up. Well, okay. Well, then wait then.
Yeah. Well, but
you've been careless. Your answer to that is agree strongly because you went and answered
the question. So now we have to do it anyway. I'm not going to say the question again.
Okay. All right, so two questions left. Let's get another beer out.
All right.
We've got two beers and we want to wrap this thing up.
So this is now I'm into my tall boy beers, which is like, these are going to be IPAs. You probably won't like them. This is from a brewery called Reason, and I think is...
Frankly, if you've been offering me gozers, I'm gagging for an IPA.
Reason beer is on Seminole Trail in Charlottesville, Virginia.
So another Virginia
beer. University of Virginia. But the beer is called Prismism. Like the word prism plus an ism on the end.
Okay.
It's a double dry hopped India Pale Ale.
All right.
Reason beer is the brewery. And I've heard good things about them. I don't think I've had any of their stuff.
We've had this conversation before that American IPA and English IPA are two different things.
Yeah, well, definitely. Especially now that you have the New England IPAs, yes. Which is even like a different version. I was out in Colorado.
When I'm back in England, I'll drink an English IPA off the draft because it's more like a pint of bitter.
Yeah. When I was out in Colorado, all the, like the West Coast was the start of the IPAs, and now the New England hazy, fruity IPAs, they're like adopting the style out there.
Well, I mean, you smell it, and it's an IPA. I mean, it's up front. It's got it on its arm. Knows what it is.
It's very – the dry hopped – it's a dry hopped, if I got this right, if I remember right, is like you run it through the hops after it's done brewing. Like it's so just like – and you can taste that. See how like – it's like – it's almost like it's a tannic, like a red wine. Stronger for sure. I can tell it's still stronger. How strong is this?
5%.
So it's not is it right? Yeah, 5.5.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
That makes
me like it more.
Here's an interesting thing. Again, I'm not an American IPA guy. That's not to say I won't drink them, but I'm never going to go there and order an IPA unless everything else is either too high in alcohol or too eclectic or too fruity. That said, it is super dry,
yeah,
very hoppy, but I quite liked it. And what I mean by that is it knows what it is, and it went all the way in. This is the beer equivalent of a dude working out at Gold's Gym. His pecs are going
to
be popping.
Well, so, we used to have, before I got more into beers, I used to know a bit more about wines, and I had a friend who worked at a wine shop, and what people would occasionally say, hey, I'm getting together like a potluck with friends, and everybody's supposed to bring a bottle of wine, we're supposed to compare them. And what we always told people is, get the most bold tasting wine you can possibly find.
Okay.
Like, it doesn't matter whether it's better, the point is it has to cut through everybody else's. Like, somebody may have a very fine, nuanced wine, but if you show up with your super duper oaky Chardonnay, people are going to be like, ooh,
yeah,
I can taste that. And that's kind of what this is doing here. And I think one reason why we're going to say this, but I also think it's a very well made IPA.
I was about to say, I'm leaning towards ranking it high, even though IPAs are not my thing. Because it is what
it is. It's better than the Zith, right? It's certainly better than Chin Music.
Yes.
Is it better than a Como Lunga, the brown ale? It's close. You have to, if you put aside your propensity to like the brown ale more, I think it's probably a better version of an IPA than the Cromo Longo was of a brown ale.
I'm tempted to agree with you there. And even though I like brown, even though I wouldn't order it, as it is an IPA. And it's and I want to say this too. It's an IPA without having to, hey, we've put these 3-day-old vegetables in it. Do you know what I mean?
There's no fruits, no grapefruit.
There's no nothing.
No,
it's an IPA. It's been brewed well. It is what it is. It's not my
not
thing.
Hazy. It's not like the English.
Again, the
New England thing.
I'm going to order the brown ale, but that is a subjective thing. I think it's a very good beer.
All right. Name.
What's the name again?
Prismism, which I kind of just like to say. It's easy to say. I mean, that's a lot easier to say.
Prismism.
Yeah.
Top three.
You think
I don't think I
better or worse than, because that would put it Elvis Juice right now. We're Elvis Juice, Shark Tears, Diamonds, Zith.
I'm going to rate it above Shark Tears because it's kind of
above. Well, it's number two. All right.
Yeah, I'm rating it above Shark Tears.
I'm with you
because it's clever.
All right,
but to be fair, it's not my thing. But it's a very good beer. It does what it says on the tin.
Yep. Two more questions.
Okay,
we'll have our last beer and analyze the results.
Okay. I am temperamental and get emotional easily.
Mm-hmm.
I have little creativity.
All right.
As soon as you do it, it clicks on.
It does?
Mine. Yep. Well, I did. And it said.
Did I miss a question? Oh, I did miss a question.
We
missed it. I am less active than other people. Did you get that one?
Yeah, I did that.
I must have just forget to press it.
All right. I mean. Well, let's do results. Get the other beer, and then we'll do the results. Because it's made the funny chart now, and I don't know what. I can't read the chart.
Mine's not going to the results.
Then you must have missed a question. As soon as you hit the last one.
Yeah, I have to go back and hit the last one again.
Yeah. As soon as you hit the last one, it clicks it for you. It sends you to your results.
Oh, yeah, there it goes.
Okay. There you go. All right. Let's get another beer out, and then we'll decide. Right. We'll look at our personalities. And I'm looking at your graph, and your graph looks vaguely similar to mine, which I think is what happened.
Oh, my God. It always comes that way. So I have two other beers, but only one of them that I really think was in the names. So both of these beers are Hardywood, which is a Richmond brewery that has a very good reputation. I've had a number of their beers I like a lot, even their regular beers. They have this Virginia IPA.
I think
IPA
I have had a Hardywood with you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've been here.
They've been around for a couple of years. Richmond's a big booming brewery scene. So this one is called None of This Makes Sense.
Okay.
It has like a weird picture. And there was actually a complimentary beer that said some of the – I forget what it was. It was like another one like this, but it was some other Makes Sense kind of reference. I have a feeling this will be like an overhopped IPA, but nonetheless. This is a hazy IPA, we can tell just by pouring it. Lighter color, but cloudy.
I'm a bit. Anytime anything's a bit hazy, I'm like. Because again, I subliminally, if something's hazy, that means it's going to be fruity.
Yeah.
So right there, if this was a blind taste test, but basically a not knowing what it is taste test, if you put that in front of me, I'm sitting there looking at a glass thinking, oh, great, another fruit-flavored beer.
So there's no information on this. It's a New England-style double IPA with Mosaic and YET lupulin powder. Lupulin powder. I should ask the senior scientist of the pod about this. 7.5% alcohol, 0 IBUs, not even. So this has got to be all fruit hops.
I mean, it.
Oh, see, this has got that funky.
Okay. So, you know, we're right at the end of the show. We've gone over an hour. And this is the last beer. And everything that I've said about myself, long-time listeners should know that I probably shouldn't like this beer. But I found it surprisingly agreeable.
Yeah. Well, it's not
And I don't know. I don't know if that's the result of going back to back with Prismism. I don't know. Maybe I'd feel differently if this was somewhere. You know, if this was the third or the fourth beer that we tried.
What is lupulin powder, and why is it in your favorite IPA?
I mean, again, there's very little bitterness. It goes down easy.
0 IBUs. So, by the way, the other Hardywood that I had gotten but I did not is called Cloud Shapes.
Okay.
And it's the can is, like, barely legible. And that's another double indie IPA. And
we can drink that later.
Yeah, I'm going to save that one.
You know, even though I've just said I found it quite agreeable, there is still that there is still an echo of citrus in it, and it's not because of we've drunken loads of those, because we put fruit. All kinds of other stuff
it's
in there.
But it's definitely fruit.
Yeah,
but that is the classic what the New England IPA. It's not added fruit; it's using hops that have a fruity flavor to them. Because nowadays, they specifically label these hops. This hop is bitter. This pot hops tastes like piney. This pot hop tastes like skunky. This hop is fruity. And you take a picture of the overdone pitcher.
Well, we'll do that after. You can hold it up to the light.
So, typically, hops are harvested and then pelletized to preserve their character and make them easier to transport. Lupulin powder, on the other hand, is the result of a proprietary cryogenic separation process dreamt up by Washington hop producer Yakima Chief Hop Union. It's the concentrated lupulin of whole leaf hops containing resins and aromatic oils. So I don't like that because it's starting to sound a little unnatural.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it all sounds vaguely artificial.
Yeah.
I want my beer to be beer. It's made through the... I I can't remember the name of the brewery now. I actually went on a beer tour about 3 weekends ago. I like it to be...
My inclination is to put it behind Zith, above Chin.
It's top. It's funny enough, though. It's top third.
Yeah. Out of the ten. This would be put it number four behind Prismism.
I can live with that. What's it called again?
I forgot. None of this makes sense. That's the name of it. Who's on first?
As soon as you said that, I'm thinking, ooh, we have another late contender. I do like that. None of this makes sense. Yeah. And in a strange way now.
It's like not a name of a thing. It's like a name of a picture. Whereas Elvis Jews. Well, Diamonds Forever is the name of a thing. But
none of this makes sense also, too, because it tasted...
It's very suitable to end.
It's very suitable. Because, again, if you put that in front of me and said, oh, here's another IPA for you, I'm already ready to not like it. But I drink that with my dinner and go, you know, that wasn't bad. I quite enjoyed that.
All right. Well, we'll put it at the top?
Yes. As soon as you said it, I thought, there you go. That's a good name.
So if you were doing it backwards like you did on a website, your blog post, yours, and you're counting them down, it'd make a perfect sort of ender.
Yes.
Like, you know, to be like, oh, we have this, that, and the other thing. And the winner at the end is none of this makes sense.
Because you have the list in front of you. Is there any beer that places in the top three in both categories? Because maybe at that moment, if we're making a point about all of this.
Prismism is number one in the beer and number three in the name.
There you go. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Charlottesville.
What's in a name? Yeah, what's in a name?
Yeah. So just to run them down real quickly, beer, taste-wise, Prismism, Como Lunga. See again, as you said, we're not. Revenge of the Zith. None of this makes sense. Chin Music, Shotgun Betty, Elvis Juice, the Java, whatever the heck, I don't know the full word here. Shark Tears, Diamonds Are Forever, Banana Bread. I think it's a fair, that's a beer taste. Names, none of this makes sense. Elvis Juice, Prismism, Shark Tears, Diamonds Are Forever, Revenge of the Zith, Chin Music, Shotgun Betty, Como Lungma, Sweet Baby Java. Oh, that's the full Java thing. Banana Bread.
So basically,
I feel pretty good about it. Like, it's none of these. I'm like, oh, we screwed that up.
If beer has banana in its title, it's probably not going to taste good either.
That's okay. So back to our personality survey. So now,
let's wrap this
what
up.
It has is it has a chart that has the five factors we mentioned before: open to experience, extroversion, negative, emotional, whatever the heck it was, conscientiousness, and agreeableness. Openness to experience, I was an 88 out of 100. What were you?
I was 92.
There you go.
Which surprises me, actually.
Which appears to be, and by the way, they show a national average and they show a 538 staffers average, which I don't care about. We are above the national average.
Okay.
Agreeableness.
What does that mean?
Openness to experience? Well, you'd have to read the article, but I think it means.
No, agreeableness.
Agreeableness means, I don't know, flexibility or. Is the article still at the top?
I have low agreeableness.
Well, you're like a 55, right?
No, I'm 29.
Oh, geez, I'm a 54.
It says, if life seems a little unfair, that's because it sort of is to you personally. That's me.
Oh, yeah, I said, and see, this has this stuff.
Below. Oh, this is not good, though. By the time low agreeable people hit adulthood, they're at risk for a whole host of unpleasant outcomes, including criminal records, reduced financial and job success.
There's higher rates
of coronary heart disease.
I didn't realize there's sub measurements. Like, so inside of the openness to experience, there's aesthetic sensitivity, creative imagination, and intellectual curiosity. Like, I have 100 on intellectual curiosity. I don't know about you.
Oh, well, don't jump ahead. Well, we're doing
that's the first thing. I didn't realize it has a different, like, if you scroll down, it has new charts. I'm moderate agreeableness here.
Yeah, I've got 100 with my openness to
experience. I have high trust
traits,
but low compassion.
So I'm above average there. Agreeableness, though, I'm below average.
Okay. So if you scroll down to each of the categories.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
So conscientiousness, where are you at that?
Yes, I'm here now. I'm at 33 out of 100. What's your score?
58. Hmm. I'm moderately. The highly conscientious are detail-oriented goal setters who dot their I's, cross their T's, and keep detailed spreadsheets. They tend to do well at work, be productive at home, and lean towards being religious. People with low conscientiousness on their height are slovenly types who smoke and drink and tend not to finish the chores they said they'd get done.
Listen to this, though. On the other hand, when the going gets tough and circumstances are changing fast, you might make better decisions and be more adaptable than the careful, detail-orientated, highly conscientious person. You're also likely to be creative. So yeah. There you go.
There are benefits and drawbacks
between
both ends. So now, see how below that has your conscientiousness subtraits?
Yeah.
And like my organization is 75. What's yours?
25.
Yeah, see. Right. My responsibility is up at 75. What's yours?
My what?
Responsibility. Like on that conscientiousness subtraits, the little triangle.
I mean, it's all the way down. It's pointed towards the bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah, so that's a 70. Like it's around.
I see. Yeah, 75. Yeah. Okay.
Productiveness, and this is perfect. What's yours? Mine's 25. Mine's very, like, that's my low point is productiveness.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same way. All right. And I actually think that's kind of, I think I'm actually less than 25. Yeah.
Negative emotionality. What are you at?
58.
I'm 38.
Oh, look at you.
You don't exactly have a propensity towards sadness, anger, and anxiety, but
well,
you aren't exactly
says.
Lacking in tendencies. So I think we're probably both considered moderate.
Ooh.
I'm a little high on the anxiety, emotional volatility, I'm very low.
I'm relatively high on the
have to be high in emotional volatility.
Oh yeah, I'm like at 75%. I'm over 75% there.
Ask one of the.
But it's interesting though because it says my depression number's quite low, but I do sometimes feel that I'm someone who, if I could do, I would easily get very depressed.
Yeah. Well, but you aren't, so that's probably.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right, let's move along.
Extroversion.
I'm 42 out of 100.
Yeah, better than me. I'm 33.
Yeah, and I'm in there. I do feel...
I mean, I know that it seems weird to talk about this on the podcast because we're busy blathering on about whatever, but there's nobody actually here. We've been talking for a while about having a live show. This would be a lot harder in front of people.
In both tests, that's sort of my score, that I tend introverted.
Yeah.
I'm not all the way in introverted. I'm not some wacko, but I tend to be that way. And I do know in life, people say to me all the time, I struggle at parties sometimes, mm-hmm. unless I'm sampling 10 beers. Here we go here now. Okay. So wait a minute. That one is. So
the subtraits I didn't find very informative here.
Yeah.
It's like sociability, I'm at 50, energy level's good, my assertiveness is low.
All right, so there you go.
I hope nobody is, like from my workplace is listening to this, is going to now cord me off into something. Well, this podcast took slightly longer than I would have expected.
We had 10 beers.
But we had fun.
We had fun.
I don't know if anybody else listened through.
Yeah.
I think the beers, I think there's some winners in those beers, I think it exposed me to some beers I wouldn't have tried other than the fact I was picking it on names. Like, there's certain beers I pick, and I tend to, even though I don't drink the same beer all the time, I tend to pick things I've heard of, and, there's some familiarity. There's a number of beers in here that I've not heard of.
See, here's the interesting thing.
I like them.
The nice thing about running this show, where we forced ourselves to pick something a little bit out of left field in order to make a choice, I'm the sort of dude who goes in, and this is also probably part of my personality, I like brown ales or whatever.
Right.
So I'm just going to troll down that section and buy that. But funnily enough, doing this, where I had to walk the whole length of the counter to look for names, I had some beers that are interesting. Yeah. But again, there were so many IPAs and so many fruit beers, that says more about the beer interesting than it says about us.
Do you feel brave enough to have a sip of this stuff?
I'm going to do it right now.
I mean, it looks okay.
So I'm now drinking from the pitcher, which is all the slop beer.
Well, if you're doing, and then it's not like backwash, it's just what was left over in our glasses.
All I can taste is chocolate and espresso.
Is that right?
That's all I can taste.
It's like a virus that spreads. I can taste
that nasty cake.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's just nothing.
Yeah, I want. Yeah, and that's like a couple of pints worth. This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.